chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
So the RAF show was on at the Helix, but could Falkirk fly past St Mirren, or would they crash and burn? Unfortunately, it was the latter, and we're here to look back at that 2-1 defeat at the stadium yesterday. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I am your host, John McInally, and the goose to my maverick, the ginger god of pod himself, it is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. You alright?
I am alright. You're a bit choked up, aren't you? You were in a... See, what happens, Ross. You go to a wedding in Fife, and, you know, you come back with the orgy.
Yeah, I'm absolutely dying today, and it's nothing to do with alcohol. I am just rough as toast today. And we have a defeat to talk about, which is
what a time to be alive. I know. You were sneakily. How did that go down at the wedding? We talked about in the last episode, you kind of sneaking off watching Falkirk TV. Jillian, the wife, frowned upon, I'm sure.
No, it all worked really well. The ceremony was like 2 till 2:45. There was then the usual gap for photos, and the meal didn't kick off till 5:15. So there was a suitable gap in between for me to watch some Falkirk TV.
And the wife was happy with this?
She was, yes. Well, this was part of the deal.
What do you mean part of the deal?
Yeah, you always need to make a...
I'm not going to the wedding unless I can watch Falkirk TV.
I wasn't quite that sort of negotiation, but I did say, oh, there sounds like there's time there to watch the game. Oh, Amelia, you'll want to watch it as well. And then she didn't. It was good to be able to do it, but not the best of results, unfortunately, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I was hosting lunch on my own as a result yesterday, or 1876 lunch. So it was good in there. It was full of ex Falkirk players. There must have been about 10 ex Bairns. Going back to like Roy Kemp. Who else did we have? Jim Scott, John Martin, John Marshall, and then the guys behind me. If you're watching the video version, 97 reunion was a bit of that as well. So had Jane McGowan, Scott McKenzie, Crunchy popped in, obviously getting made this ambassadorial role yesterday, and Albert Craig was there as well. And then the one and only Archie Cadet, stick one in the back of the net, was in yesterday as well. And he was kicking out the tuna.
Behind you just now, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's looking at the size of his son. You can see a picture of his son next to me as well. They were kicking about the town after the match as well. So I believe they popped into Elliot's. Jane McGowan was, because he went to Elliot's and then came up to behind the wall. And Jane McGowan, they couldn't get a taxi back from the stadium. So Richie Cadet suggested, let him on, let's just go on the bus. And I went here, there and everywhere before going up the town. I think it went through like the Middlefield estate and all that and all the way around.
Can you imagine getting on the bus and like Crunchy and Richie Cadet are just sitting at the back of the bus?
I know. So they got eventually made it, but they popped into Elliot's and then came up to behind the wall. So I think they had a good night. It was good to see Richie Cadet back in Falkirk, you know. It's amazing.
He was absolute legend, and I didn't even know he had a son, so there you go. And he does look like him a wee bit facially, doesn't he? He's obviously taller than him, but
he was wearing his dad's old top.
I saw a picture on Facebook quite late last night. It was Alistair Wilson from The Fit, and I saw one of his pictures had his B&Q Cup final shirt on. I assume it's his dad's number 9 shirt.
Yeah.
And it looked class. It absolutely looked class. So how was Albert Craig as well? Did you talk to him about the infamous thistle punch up?
He didn't quite like talking about that. But I did obviously mention it about the incident. I was like, you know, obviously the first time ever that TV evidence was used in Scottish football was Albert Craig running up the tunnel to batter the fuck. He did say he was fined 4 weeks' wages for that.
Four? Jesus. Uh-huh. Bloody hell. That's a lot, isn't it? Like
I
if you think
know.
about a month's salary, how like aye, that's a bollock.
I know, but no, the guys are in good form. Great to see Scott McKenzie. Obviously, Scott and Jamie had both played for St Mirren as well, but they're in great form. And Scott, he was just, like he's an absolute club legend, isn't he? For all
Yes.
the appearances he made for the club. So, no, they were good form, and great to see them all back at the stadium. So yeah, I've had a bit of a Falkirk weekend though, Ross, because I went to the Falkirk Business Club. Bairns Business Club on Friday as well. Ties in with my course because it was in leadership, so ticked that box off. And it was Stephen McGinn, John McGlynn, and Col Donaldson all doing a chat at that as well. So that was really interesting, really, really good.
Good.
I did have to mention to Col, however, I was like, looked around him and said, just looking around for all the names you dropped on Open Goal, because he was on that. He was on Open Goal this week, dropping names like Atley, Harry Redknapp, Rio Ferdinand, all this sort of stuff.
That's true.
So yeah,
Yeah,
so
that's true. He was one of the. No, he was good in that, though, to
he
be
was
fair.
very good. He
He
was
was very
very
good
good.
in
He
that.
comes across really well, Cole, I think.
He does. He does. He's a good guy. As we've met him a few times now on various things, and but the whole event was worthwhile going to on Friday then.
Yeah, it was great. So if you ever get a chance, if you are a local business, I think it's a great opportunity to network and find out local businesses. There's a guy there from Belgium talking about sleep and trying to get involved. He had all these experiments with sleep and stuff, and I was like, I wish I had the chance to speak to him, but it was
Was
really
he a
interesting.
guest or was he
He was, I think he was trying to make a connection at the club to try it with footballers and stuff for this
Oh, I
kind of
see. Right.
sleeping experiment stuff. It was really interesting, but I wish I got a chance to chat him. But if you are a local business, it's worth getting along and do a bit of networking at the Bairns Business Club. I know you're a member, Ross.
Brilliant
Mainly,
organisation. I can't speak for
mainly,
it highly enough.
mainly you'd say you should get invited to hospitality once a year, pretty much.
Well, yeah, but there's no shortage of that this year, is there?
I
So just this, we're there every home game. So,
know, that's true. That's
but
true.
yeah, you do wonder if this will be the season we like they'll just put us off hospitality.
Oh no! I'm done already. I'm just like,
Two games in.
get me a pie, get me a pie, get me straight to the game. But no, it's great. The 1876 Lounge, if you fancy it, we're there every home game.
Hibs game
Like,
next. Hibs game. Come
Hibs game
on.
next. Mentioned them there just now, but going at the club news and the first thing, Kim McAllister named as a lifetime ambassador at the club. Well overdue.
Absolutely. We can't say enough about the wee man, can we? The
That's
guy's just
unbelievable.
a living legend, and I'm glad he is stuck. Because I always think it's amazing when players are here to see their name in lights. And I know he's not that kind of guy. Like he doesn't really like the attention, but he deserves the attention. And I think no one deserves it more in terms of that. So yeah, it is probably overdue. I don't know what being a lifetime ambassador
I
means.
wonder if it, because if you're an ambassador of most clubs, it means you kind of do like the hospitality suites and go around on every match day, and I think you get paid for it as well. So
Right.
I'm assuming that's what it is. I don't know. I didn't get the chance to ask him what it actually entailed, but I certainly
Yeah.
know like when Yogi, we did an event with Yogi in Crunchy, and Yogi was saying, because Yogi's an ambassador at Hibs,
Yeah.
and that's what he does, and he said the wee man should be an
Different.
ambassador at
Whatever. Yeah.
Falkirk. So
Yeah.
maybe I'm assuming that is. I don't know, but it would be good if it is, because Kim, coming to the home games and doing all that sort of stuff. When you meet Ken McAllister, you're meeting a man who's got a stand named after him. You're meeting an absolute club legend,
He does. He lives and breathes the club as well. Like he's so passionate about
Oh,
it.
100%. You ask him about like, especially wingers,
Aye.
especially wingers. I remember from we've talked to him about Callum Morrison and stuff like that in the past. I don't think he was Callum Morrison's biggest fan, if I'm honest with
No,
you.
he wasn't, was he? No.
But no, he loves talking about that sort of stuff. So brilliant to see Kevin being made an ambassador at Road. So you'll hopefully see him around the club a lot more often now as well.
We do.
Talking about wingers, Cale Macroun has joined Berwick Rangers on loan, and Reece Walker has gone to Cowden Beath. Two young players, we saw a bit of them earlier in the season in the Stirlingshire Cup, and I think they got some minutes in the League Cup as well, actually.
They did,
But
yep.
yeah, it makes sense, because then with the squad, the size, and the amount of players we've brought in loan that from other clubs, it makes sense for those boys to go out and get some game time.
It really does. And to be fair, we thought it would happen and it has started to happen. There might be more, maybe a couple more. Both boys will get first team action at Berwick and Cowden Beath respectively. And as you said, the size of our squad now. They were unlikely to be featuring. We've got injuries that are coming back. I know the club's not mentioned anything yet. I believe we beat Tranent 7-1 in a kickabout this
I was about to
afternoon.
ask you about that, actually. Any idea of the scorers? Have you heard anything?
I did see something. I want to say, in fact, yes, I can. John, 2 wee seconds. I did see it. But the good news was, so many of the players.
I saw Gary Oliver, I saw Sean Mackey in some pictures that you posted on.
Yes. So, when 7-1 goals were from Alfie, Brian Graham, Sean Mackey, who was wearing the Falkirk Daft captain's
Oh,
armband, I
wow.
noticed.
Sean, captain, wow.
Philippe Lisa, McCafferty, and Kai Brown amongst the scorers
Oh,
as well.
brilliant.
So,
Young
yeah,
Kai, lot of
loads of
hope
good
for him.
stuff. Yeah,
Lambert High people,
massive.
I think he's Falkirk Daft himself, so brilliant to see that.
He is. His mum got in touch actually during the week. She was giving me I think they'd been down at Queen of the South midweek, so she was giving me a wee bit of a kind of rundown as to how the game was. It was obviously rotten weather during the week as well, and I don't think it would have been brilliant. What's my man flu fog trying to come through my brain here? Like, it wouldn't have been good conditions for a game with the wind and the rain. But I think, the boys do really well. Kai's well thought of. I know John McGlynn's mentioned him before. Jamie Swinney's mentioned him before. Great to see Flynn McCafferty getting involved. I do wonder if Flynn would maybe be another one who would
Yeah,
be going on the
potentially,
road.
yeah.
Not Kai, because he's still of a certain age, but Flynn, yeah, you would imagine Flynn could be going out on loan this month too.
Yeah, no, good to see the boys going out and getting game time, hopefully come back. You want to, this is the whole thing of the academy, you want to see these boys start to come in and pepper into the team so you don't have to go out to, teams and bring players out on loan from down south and what have you. So let's fingers crossed that these guys can go out, get a game time, and then come back and try and force themselves into that first team next season.
Absolutely,
Be great to see.
absolutely.
Be great to see. We've got a big telly now. We've got a big telly.
Yes, looks
It
good.
looks good. It does. It looks good. It was great to see. I didn't see much of it going on yesterday because it's got the clock on it. I saw there's a cameraman doing bits with the crowd and stuff. I thought it was really, really good. It's just another great addition to the club and proving ourselves as a Premiership side, I guess.
Absolutely. I thought when I saw the press release about it was interesting. They said, well, it's a trial firstly, so I assume they will be looking to make sure they can get enough sponsorship to help fund it. I was speaking to my father-in-law. He was at the wedding reception last night, and he was saying that pre-match they were showing like highlights of previous
Yeah.
games and an interview with John McGlynn. That would have been weird for John McGlynn doing the warm-up and then just kind of hearing and seeing himself on massive telly. The only thing he said was, now this is maybe just my father being a certain vintage, but he said it was too loud in the stadium, like as in you couldn't talk to each other. So I don't know if the
Right.
club will get any feedback on that, but
I'm sure they'll have people
these little
moaning
things
about
will
it.
get ironed out and
Aye,
worked out.
aye. For sure. I mean, as I was saying, if the game's terrible, you can just switch the telly on. We can put on a movie or something like that.
Yes, yeah,
So if the
that
game's
would help.
terrible, just stick on Con Air or The Rock or some sort of action movie. And we can just sit and watch
Yeah,
that if the game's terrible.
we would need to be careful though. I don't know who would be in charge of that. Can you imagine if like Dave Mack or something, and he flicks on to like Pornhub or something like that?
Oh, but
Like,
apparently you need a password and facial recognition and all that stuff to get onto that now. Just what a friend told me. So yeah, Falkers, they're amazing. Right, couple of condolences from Falkirk Daft here now as well.
John, how can we go from Pornhub to a couple of condolences? Like, that is so well ill-timed, right?
know.
So,
I know.
I know, and typical us there, but we, yeah, serious face on, because it is two big Falkirk fans who've passed away, haven't they?
Yeah, I think you've seen Joe Wallace around the ground, and in fact, you definitely will have your Falkirk supporter. He joined the club in 2011 as head groundsman. Was previously at University of Stirling, and he wasn't a Falkirk supporter, but he was there for some great times. The Scottish Cup final in 2015, obviously when we went invincible, that was Joe's last season, and he sadly passed away in the last week. Wasn't a Falkirk supporter when he joined the club, but I think he left as a Falkirk supporter. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Joe's family. And of course, Douglas McIntyre, if you're involved with Back the Bairns, in our lowest ebb, back in the late 90s. Douglas was Murdoch Smith, if you remember them. They're kicking about all Falkirk area and Stennis Muir. Douglas was instrumental in putting a whole bunch of business people together and forming, with the support of Back the Bairns and bringing the club from its lowest ebb back to life, really. So Douglas was a chairman at the club and then joined the board as well, after he stepped down as chairman, and he sadly passed away as well. So again, thoughts to his family and his friends as well.
100%. Firstly, with Joe, I met Joe loads of times over the years. As you said, not originally a Falkirk fan, but I think when you work for a club for so long, you're emotion, you get emotionally invested in how the club are doing. You meet all the fans, you hear about their friends and family stories. You would have been knee deep with the players every day as well. So yeah, massive condolences to Joe, and obviously Douglas, who I'm going to be honest, I had never met, but obviously in terms of his backstory, he, him, and amongst others, and the fans all came together and saved the football club in some dark times. So again, thoughts with Douglas's family as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's talk about behind the wall now, before we get into looking back at the St Mirren game. Thank you very much to the support. I was in there last night, a lot longer than I expected to be. I wandered behind the wall after the match for a couple of pints with my brother, and then the Hibs Dundee United game was on, cracking game of football. So I just kind of got stuck into that, and then it was like one thing led to another, and then one pint, and then a couple of mates were there. So and then my mates were like, "Yeah, we'll just go down the road now." And then every time I went away to the toilet or something, there was another pint sitting there. So it was one of those nights. So I didn't get out of there till 9:30. But in the meantime, all the like Richie Cadet, Ken McAllister, Scott McKenzie, they were all in there as well. So they were obviously getting lots of pictures, a lot of supporters as well. So no, it was a great night out. And behind the wall, as we say, the best pub in Falkirk. And the Falkirk Daft Venom still on the menu. Double check that. And there's loads of great entertainment going in there. There was loads of punks. It was just really mad because it was the 79 punk night last night with the media whores who were upstairs. So there was all these punks kicking about the bar as well. So it was a mixture of football supporters and punks. So it was great to see. Derek Steele was in as well, and buying Derek a pint as well. Surprisingly, not going to the punk night as well. But there you go. Loads of stuff going on behind the wall. Like I say, lots of great entertainment. Kim Carney's on there on the 19th of September. James Grant, I cannot believe James Grant. You won't know who James Grant is.
No.
Anyway, James Grant's phenomenal. He's playing on the 27th of September. It's only £20 a ticket. I highly recommend you go and check out James Grant on Spotify. Listen to his music, it's beautiful. Get up to behind the wall for that gig on the 27th. And then on the 17th of October, I need to put a shout out for this gig. It's sold out, but I want to talk about the band Brogo. Okay. Again, check them out on Spotify. They're a Falkirk band, right? I believe one of there's three Celtic supporters in the band and one Falkirk supporter in the band. They do a song called The Roving Falkirk Bairn.
All
Please
right.
go and check it out. And I'm putting a shout out to Dave Matt because it should be played at the stadium because it's absolutely amazing. It's the only time you'll hear Grangemouth getting mentioned in any pop or rock song. It's a beautiful, beautiful bit. And they do a lot of songs about Falkirk as well. So if you listen to their stuff, you'll notice and recognise some of the stuff, places they're talking about. There's another one called Sunday Morning. Brilliant. So go and check out Brogo. It's Brogeal. That's John's recommendation, music recommendation of the week. We've had restaurant recommendations. We're now on to music recommendations, Ross. So yeah, check out Brogo on Spotify or Apple Music. They're brilliant. They're going to be huge. They're going to be really, really good. So check them out. And of course, they're still running the Falkirk Daft Carling Coach. Still spaces for Hearts, Ross. £10 return and £5 for Hibs for the home game as well. And the usual offer, pint on return, is still available as well.
Good. No, listen, loads of good stuff coming up at behind the wall. Everyone listening to this podcast now knows it's the live entertainment place of choice in Falkirk. So get involved at behindthewall.co.uk.
And plans afoot for a Falkirk Daft Christmas party. We're still TBC, but we're working on it. We're working on it. So watch this space. Check out everything at behindthewall.co.uk, as Ross says. Right, let's get into talking about St Mirren, if we must then. Before that, actually, I need to mention Falkirk Women, which scores just come in. They won 3-0 against Armadale today. It's just full time just has gone there. So well done. Anna Dickoff got a double and Hannah Davey got on the score sheet as well. So the Falkirk Women still unbeaten and absolutely flying in the league. Brilliant for the girls. And they'll be pushing towards the top of that championship. So we're second, but I'll need to go and check the league tables to see how they are up in comparison. But yeah, well done to the girls. And our 3-0 win for them. So fantastic. Superb.
What a start to the season. Great
to talk about the women. Let's talk about the men's side now. And let's do it in the company of, he's been on the show before, it's Craig Schofield.
Hi, guys. He's all right. How he's doing?
Hey, buddy. You all right?
I would be better if it was we had a Falkirk win to talk about. Unfortunately, you're on to talk about a defeat, though, Craig.
One day you'll get me on for a win. It was 0-0 last time, so at least I've got some goals to talk about this time.
At least we'll get into that and we'll go through the match. But as I think we introduced this in the last podcast, we did a review show, that rather than asking like the same question all season, we're going to go into the Falkirk Daft bucket hat. We'll call it, I was going to say the Falkirk Daft bucket hat list, and then we see what I've done there. Right, I'm going to draw a question out from the Falkirk Daft bucket hat, and you've just got to answer it, okay? Right, so here we go. Here we go, right. Who is your favourite manager of all time at Falkirk?
Ooh. That's a belter.
I had a belter, because obviously, so when I first came, obviously it was Yogi, and obviously, but kept in the Premier League club, obviously 5 years, that's going right back. I mean, the easy answer is John McGlynn. I mean, let's be honest here, the last 3-4 years, I've been the best watching Falkirk. I mean, you'd asked me that 2 years ago, it would have been Peter Houston, but I'd say McGlynn takes it. You can't really know the last couple of years and the memories and everything that's came with that. So John McGlynn, that's quite an easy one. That's an easy one to start with, John. I'll take that. So John
there
McGlynn,
you go. Nice, easy one to start with. Who's the worst, though?
Oh, it's Paul Hartley, isn't it?
Oh, that's an easy question as well, isn't it?
John, that's a good question, because I think up until the last couple of years, for a certain generation, you would have heard Jeffries, you would have heard Yogi. You know what I mean? These guys. But actually, and I agree with Craig, I think for the achievements of the last couple of years, my first go-to answer there would now be John McGlynn.
Wow, that's I mean, when you think invincible season, back-to-back champions, I mean, it's folklore stuff. It really is. If he keeps us up this season, he will continue to cement that legacy. So yeah, it's an interesting question. It really is. Let us know what you think in the comments, please, because I think it is. It does become a really interesting conversation. Totten, Jeffries, Yogi, John McGlynn. That's kind of where you're at with it all, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Anyway, let's talk about the game then, shall we? It is the first top-flight clash between Falkirk and St Mirren since May 2010. What was the score in that game, Ross Wayne?
Wasn't it a draw? One each or 2-2 or something like that?
It was one each. There you go. There we go.
Was the scorer not someone quite random, though, like Ryan Flynn or something like that?
I don't know, actually. It sounds about the Flynn era. He was for as well. But 1-1 was the last time.
Actually, it wasn't Scott Arfield, was it?
Do you know what? I think you might have nailed that.
Let me quickly check Better Medal.
Straight on it. I think you might have nailed that.
I think it was Scott Arfield. Craig, you don't know that, remember that?
I'm fairly sure that we drew that game one each, and St Mirren went to the 10 men, and we drew that game one each. That's one of them weird games that sticks in my memory. That somebody sent off a heat button somebody, and we got a penalty and drew one each.
Yeah.
Right, I'm checking it if my internet would hurry the hell up, but it's it is loading.
We're all waiting with bated breath. Come on.
Bated breath, right. So that would have been one each, Falkirk Stadium. I see it, right. Okay. Scott Arfield, 45.
Nailed it.
Penalty. 45-minute penalty. There we go.
There you go. And St Mirren have only lost that one of the last five top flight away games at Falkirk. And it continued yesterday. Nightmare. Team was unchanged, Ross Wayne. Were you surprised? I was.
Yes, I was, if I'm being honest. Don't get me wrong, I thought what we did at Aberdeen worked. But it worked more after the changes were made. So yes, I did think there would be changes. I thought Ethan Williams would have came in. We knew Kyrell was injured, and he's hopefully going to be back for Hibs. But I thought Ethan Williams would have been a stick-on starter in place of Scott Arfield.
You in a similar thought,
Yeah,
Craig?
I'd say so, John. I think I agree. Yeah, because obviously, it's not. I'm not surprised they're the same starting 11 because of what happened at Aberdeen. But they're just thinking. I mean, Scott Arfield's a lot of things, but he's not a winger. And I was surprised we kind of tried to do it again yesterday.
Yeah, I was when I read the team sheet. I was like, "Oh, all right, okay." But and you know, again, first half. Let's talk about the first half. I was disappointed to see Killian Phillips' name on the team sheet, and that kind of. And when I see the way he played yesterday, I was like, "Yeah, that's why I was so disappointed to see he made it back from injury." We kind of thought it was touch and go, for the game, but yeah, he made it into starting 11. And let's just say, bloody land of the Giants. I look, you looked out on that pitch when they were lining up and you went, Jesus Christ.
Big lads,
Oh,
very
absolutely.
big lads. That seems to be a feature of the Premiership so far this season, to be honest, doesn't it?
You just see every team and they're absolutely massive. I was watching obviously Kilmarnock today as well, and they're another massive
You see the
side.
size of their forward, by the way?
Oh, yeah, he looks like a basketball player.
He's about 7 foot.
I know. Huge big lad. So yeah, it's just again we're finding that physicality. It's just a different level, isn't it, from the championship?
Aye, absolutely.
I th the talk, like, you know, and I think we mentioned it on the podcast that St Mirren are a, like you know, and John McGuinn mentioned it, saying that St Mirren, we need to aspire to be like St Mirren, and we'll, you know, it'll take us a while to get there, and hopefully we've got the time to do it in this league, but. That's when you look out there and you go, that's where you want your football side, a big physical side. Maybe not in the way they play, but I mean, they certainly get results and they got one yesterday, Ross.
They did. I'm a big fan of what St Mirren have achieved. We talked about this on the preview show with Ross last week. I think they have done remarkably well for a football club who, like ourselves, are fan-owned. They have established themselves as a big Premiership team. Two top six finishes have proven that. Listen, I think we're all disappointed with the result yesterday, but we need to bear in mind it's not where we weren't playing. St Mirren, who have just been promoted. I think if we played Livingston yesterday at home, you want to win your home games again. And it's not, I didn't want to win my home games against St Mirren, but it's a different game. They are like Aberdeen away, it's always a tough game. You need to take your chances when you get them, defend well. And let's face it, we were unlucky yesterday with the first goal, which we'll talk about when we get to the second half. But we at St Mirren are where we want to get to. Can I just say that it was great to see the Tifo. And I'm not well, trying to blow smoke up St Mirren's arse, but I think it's great that the Falkirk and St Mirren fans were able to kind of work with that, and hopefully that would be reciprocated at the Smesa Stadium. If we ever wanted to do a Tifo or something like that, I'm sure we would, because there does seem to be a growing relationship there between the clubs and also the supporters as well.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? That kind of the ultras are pals with someone.
Yes.
I find that very strange. I find it very strange. But to be fair, the Tifo was really good. I
It
thought.
was, and it was purposeful as well. Like, it wasn't just a regular tifo. They were obviously celebrating Jimmy Bone and
Yeah.
also Keith Lasley's 400 games as well. But I think, yeah, no, listen, I think you heard for Jamie Swinney on the club's podcast as well. Him and Keith Lasley seem to get on very, very well from that perspective as well.
Stephen Robinson's 400 games.
Yeah, what did I say?
Keith Lasley.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, no, Keith Lasley's not.
COVID fog is coming over you still, Ross.
Honestly, this Craig, I know I saw you like 15 hours ago, but I am rough as hell today just with man flu.
Oh, I look forward
Oh.
to that.
Oh yes, that's true. I was whispering in your ear most of the
Oh, was
evening.
Craig at the wedding as well?
Craig was at the
I
wedding
was.
reception last night, yeah.
Were you? Did you cra Were you cramped around Ross's phone as well, Craig?
Oh no, I was at the game, John. No, I was there. I was there. So I was only there for the reception.
Oh, were you bumped to the? Oh, did how come Ross is getting full day, and you're getting bumped to the reception?
That's a question. I'll be running up to David for next time I see him.
Shocking behaviour for that. But I mean, it was just a huge team, and like you say, you look at them, and when you saw them, Oh God, we've got a game on our hands today. In saying that, though, I thought, I think Falkirk had the better of it potentially in the first half. We had I don't know, there were some chances that weren't getting shown, but the one that, like, Ross McKeever's one that, was cleared off the line, where Shamal George kind of made a bit of an arse of it, and it was cleared off the line. Well, I mean, there wasn't many chances, to be honest with you. Mark, a couple of half chances for St Mirren, which they kind of blazed over. Mark O'Hara had a really soft touch when it went to Scott Bain's hands, but we seem to be a lot more positive in that first half, Craig.
Yeah, because obviously when we were watching it, I thought Henry Cartwright, I've got to mention him, I thought the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I thought he was fantastic. I thought he was the man who was both, like, in terms of the forward passing and actually getting stuck in, had a really kind of good first 20, 25 minutes. Faded a bit after that, but in terms of
You
actual.
think? I thought he was outstanding throughout the match.
What he faded, I'm not saying he played badly, but I just
Yeah.
thought first 25, 30 minutes, we were talking about him all the time. And then after that, I thought, didn't really mention it. Could just be the switching ends. You don't see him. You're obviously in the South Stand. You see him a lot more. It could just be that. But not saying he played poorly, though. I thought the first 25 minutes, especially, I thought he was absolutely dominant in that game. In terms of chances, like you say, there was very little. It felt like, and I said this to Ross last night, actually, it felt like every time we went forward, we were offside. I
Yeah.
can't in a game with more or a half with more offsides in that first half. Every time we went forward, I just started looking at the linesman because I'm like, right, he's offside again. We're offside again. And it just felt like that was the kind of theme throughout that kind of first half for us.
I thought some men were really organised, and they were playing that offside trap pretty well, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing. They were very organized, as well as being massive. They were very well organized. I mean, I actually thought in that first half, I kind of went, this has got nil nil written all over it. It just seems like a complete nil nil game. It wasn't much to write, like, say, not much to write home about in that first half. Get into the second half, and again, it continued. The first part of that second half kind of continued the first half, and just think this is nil nil, nil nil. And then St Mirren get the free kick off of the Brad Spencer foul. Somebody said that wasn't a foul. I was like, you're kidding me. I don't
I think
think you'd have any complaints.
when you see it from the camera angle behind the goals, it's a wee bit more conclusive, and it does, he's tripped him. Obviously, what then happens is very unfortunate, but yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one for Brad. Does he let the guy run in and crack a shot off and it goes in, or does he take a chance? And I think most players will probably take a chance on it.
Yeah, just really unlucky with that free kick. But it seems like it was going to take something like that to unlock the game. But the one thing I was really surprised, I thought St Mirren would offer a bit more at set pieces. I thought Falkirk defended set pieces up until that point really, really well. And we'll talk about the second goal in a minute, Craig. But I mean, when it comes to set, you can't, when it takes a deflection like that, as it did off Ross, there's nothing much Scott Bain could do about it.
It was one of them moments, though, John. Like you could see, Ethan Williams was ready to come on. You're thinking to yourself, right? I've never been more certain in my life this ball's going in the back of the net because it's the up guy. He's coming on for his debut, and it just as soon as he hit it, and you thought he's hit that terribly. Hits off Spencer, and you're just watching it going in. And you're like, ah, you're thinking to yourself, I'd rather just put it in the top corner. I'd rather
Aye.
just watching it just roll in.
I know.
Was like.
Do you know what? You are very similar to me, Craig. I had the exact same feeling because Ethan Williams was right in front of us because we sit right behind the dugouts, and I saw that, and I thought, when the free kick went, oh no, they're going to score from this, aren't we? They're going to score for us, and then right enough, it happened.
I felt more sorry. Well, obviously you feel sorry for Brad because it's a sore goal for him to be not accredited to, but it's happened. He's took the book in, and then that's happened, right? But actually, for Scott Bain as well, because he had a tremendous game, really overall, and it was such a tough thing for him because there's no chance. There was absolutely zero chance he was going to get back over to the other side of the goals for that.
Yeah, two outstanding saves. We've got to mention to the two absolutely outstanding saves that Scott Bain. I think the one from I thought from Phillips was unbelievable. I thought, and I think we've talked about it. He's definitely established it. His distribution's excellent. I mean, his ball retention, the way we play, but into his feet, always really comfortable, never really panicked. And when someone like Cartwright kind of drops deep for him, he's always finding that, always looking for Brad or Cartwright and through that ball just to cut into midfield. thought again and again, he just proves with shot stopping, you know, he's are definitely establishing himself as our number one now, Ross.
I would say so. Yeah, I would say so. And again, we keep saying it. It's not a slight on Nicky.
No,
It's
it's not slaying Nicky.
Nicky has got himself got us here to where we are. However, we have two very competent goalkeepers, and I am sure at some point Nicky will be, whether it's through injury, suspension, or something else, Nicky will be utilized as
On, yeah.
focal goalkeeper again. So, but yes, Scott, I think Scott Bain has shown that he's a very, very good goalkeeper. You heard, I think it was Cole talking about it on that open goal we were just talking about earlier on. He was talking about Scott Bain and his influence since he came in the summer as well. So it's obviously been a big thing for the players.
Yeah. Brad, we talked about Henry Cartwright and the kind of influence that he had, and especially in that first half, Craig. Brad Spencer seems a bit quiet. Like Brad had a very un-Brad-like performance, I thought. He didn't get on the ball, but I don't know if that was because Henry Cartwright had kind of taken over that mantle, or if and Brad was playing maybe a different role. But he just didn't seem to get a foot in that game yesterday.
No, there was one, and it was just at the, I can't remember. It might have been just after they scored. One of their players played a pass straight to him, and he tried to ping it into McKeever and put it a good 2 or 3 yards past him. And I'm thinking to myself, that's just not Brad Spencer. Like, because
Yeah.
we know how good he is in the ball, we know how good he is at passing the ball. I do kind of agree. I think I really felt, especially after that kind of first goal, I don't know if it kind of went to his head, but after that, he did seem to kind of drift out of the game. I did see him kind of moving, kind of almost playing left midfield though. Like, he was always out left with Leon McCann quite a lot of that second half. So, again, I don't know. He could be right. That might be a tactical thing just to try and overload that side. But I agree. I don't think he had the influence we were kind of hoping for. But again, I think a lot of it comes back to Sittman being that organised, though. Like, every time we got the ball, they were in that kind of the two strikers, the kind of either five midfielders or the three midfielders and the five defenders. It was just, I just felt like whenever we got the ball, tried to get the ball forward, it just stopped and then it went backwards and then it stopped again. Again, but again, that's credit to St. Mirren, credit to how Stephen Robinson had them organised.
I think there's two issues with Brad yesterday. One is, listen, he's human, right? He's confidence like anyone else's. When something happens at work or in your daily life that doesn't quite go to plan, it throws you, and it can throw you, right? But we don't have 7,500 pairs of eyes staring at you for the rest of the day. So there's that. The second thing is, teams are quite rightly learning that if you shut down Brad Spencer, a lot of our play doesn't actually happen. Because Brad is the guy who takes the ball off the centre halves or the defenders and then makes it play. A lot of teams are learning really quickly that if they close him down, we are not as effective. And but that is where Henry came in. I thought Henry had a great game yesterday. That was his, and he was fantastic up at Aberdeen, but I thought that was his best.
So strong. See, for a young lad, you just look at how strong he battled through 50-50s, you know, picking up loose balls on the like deflections, and he's got a massive arse, a huge arse, like Andy Gray-esque levels of arse, like John McGinn on steroids arse, and like that is he's just so strong and powerful with it.
You've spent a long time staring at that guy's
Huge
arse.
arse, huge arse. Like,
Right.
honestly, look at it the next time. But it helps in that, in all seriousness, though, his strength and his, I thought he was an absolute warrior in the middle of that park yesterday. And it's, you know, we cried out for a player like that, Ross, like a big battling guy in midfield. And it seems that Henry's going to be that guy in midfield. And hopefully, you know, I think it was maybe just an off day for Brad yesterday, but they can start motoring together. I think Dylan Tate's really good in the 10 as well. I'd like to add that on top. I think Arfield's lost out in that left wing. I really think we're wasting him there. Is he an impact? Is he a finisher? Like this term finisher. Is Arfield a finisher? You start taking the 10, you bring Arfield on. As we saw with Brian, we'll talk about Brian's goal in a bit, but is he just now like a finisher for that 10?
Yeah, could well be, John. It's a tough one because he obviously did quite well up at Aberdeen, right? But again, I know I said this earlier on, I thought we looked better when the changes were made
When
against
Wilson
Aberdeen.
came on.
So it is a tough one. I think you're right, though. For me, Scotty probably is now, from what we've seen in the Premier League so far, I think he probably is a sub to come on for the last half, 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah, but we kind of chased the game about, obviously made the changes. Williams came on, looked a wee bit lost in his first game initially. He started settling down a bit later on in the game, but he looked a little bit lost initially. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of him and a lot more to come from him, especially when we get Kyle Wilson back for hopefully Hibs as well.
Who's this Williams guy you're talking about? I saw a shirt yesterday that said Willams. I
We'll
never
get
saw that.
to that because I believe there could be a Dafty nomination coming from that. So there's a lot more. And then we obviously brought on Brian and Trey to sort of change the formation with the two up top. Unfortunately, however, in the meantime, the second goal happened for St Mirren, and let's talk through this second goal because it was just a mess.
Pretty much. See, when you watch it back, it's so frustrating. Like at the time, I'm obviously you guys are there. I'm sitting watching it on the phone. I just think there's like a series of unfortunate events with the second goal. Like Lewis Nielsen, I hate honestly. I genuinely because I feel like I'm going to mention him twice here. But that the first phase, he's not strong enough, and he's a strong laddie, and he could be stronger. Getting the ball away for the guy, just getting in front of him, clearing it. We don't. It then goes out. Keelan's then got one on two. Doesn't stop the cross either. Doesn't put a leg out. Doesn't do anything or see the guy on his weaker foot. The ball then comes through, and again, Hendo's got somebody, and this big guy's on his own. Like what's the rest of the defenders doing, or anyone in that box for that matter? Not even just singling out Lewis Nielsen. Like no one is marking this 6 foot 6 Mandron. And as John McGlynn said it, I'll just rephrase it. It was a disgraceful defending. It
I
really
mean,
was.
they're expecting the long throw because St Mirren had been utilising the long throw and they expect that to come. So they can set up ready for that. But Keelan's then left 2-on-1 out on that side. And, he doesn't close down the man for the cross. It was a good ball from Declan John, in fairness. But the gap, and I think it was pointed out in Sports Scene by Neil McCann, he's sitting he's right in the middle. Nielsen and Henderson, and he's sitting right in the middle of the two of them, like with all the space in the world. And we've left this monster just sitting there on his Todd in between the two centre halves. And all it took was a great ball from Declan John. And, we should have closed down the cross. Henderson or Nielsen should have been tighter on him. But it was just too easy. Far
Well,
too easy.
Hendo was man. If you would again, when you watch it back, Hendo is man marking someone else. He's actually got a hold of the guy, but Mandron's left on his own, and he's not gonna miss a header from a yard and a half out at that range.
I know. It was a shocking goal to lose, Craig, wasn't it?
And it's not even that. It's like you mentioned Kieran Phillips before. If Mandron didn't get Kieran Phillips, the nearest man to him is Kieran Phillips. Kieran Phillips is really the only one marking Mandron because if he doesn't get it, he taps in. It's when you watch it back and you watch it almost from the sideline from when the throw-in's taken, and you just go, yeah, you can see what you said there, John, about we're expecting the long throw, and nobody at any point has switched on, apart from Declan John, to the fact that we can just go straight in the box without Bourne with a long throw. And it's just, it's frustrating. It's so annoying because it is basic.
We had Keelan Adams up in the lounge after the game yesterday, and I had to. I was like, ah, shit, we have to ask about the second goal here. But luckily, he kind of volunteered the information because I thought if I ask about this, Brian Graham standing next to him might batter me. But no, it was like he said, they'd seen it in video analysis. I think John McGlynn went through it in video analysis. We all know how John likes his videos. And then went and pinpointed that. So I think that's what, I mean, John McGlynn was raging yesterday. You saw him on the sidelines yesterday, Craig, and he was raging. A lot of rage going through John yesterday. But yeah, it's a terrible goal to lose. And again, just their own fault, I think, just switching off Ross.
Kills the game at that point because I know there's still 10 minutes left, and we did get a goal back, but we're really leaving it very late to try and rescue a point at that stage. And I think most fans probably thought at 2-0, well, the game is probably done. I'm not saying it like the good thing I saw anyway, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when the second goal went in, you obviously see the odd person leave, but there wasn't a mass exodus, which is good. The only thing I noticed at full time, and I know we're not there yet, but unlike the last 2 seasons, a lot of fans aren't staying back now if there's a poor result. And I don't know if I like that. We had built up this unity between the players and the fans. And I just think, and I know there's a lot of new fans. There is a lot of new fans, but stay behind, clap them off, let them know we're still there, and then we move on. Do you know what I mean?
100%. I mean, people might have missed Brian Graham's goal Changed their shape obviously when Brian and Trey came on, and it's something that I think Brian's been crawling out for ages. It just get balls into the box for him and he'll do the rest. Do you know what I mean? And it was we've talked about Leon McCann and how good a crosser of the ball. If we can make that happen more often when Brian's on the pitch, it's meat and gravy for him. Great header from him, great ball from Leon. It just goes to show if we try that, getting a whipped ball like that into the ball for Brian, he'll be there. And if we are switching our shape as we did, if we're chasing the game at the end, if we bring on Trey as well, he'll be in and about it as well to pick up the scraps. So yeah, I thought the change of shape did us, that was the reason we got the goal.
Beautiful, beautiful finish. And just to give him a shout out before Leon got the ball as well, Ethan blindly just knows that Leon McCann's out in the left wing and almost blindly passes like a reverse pass to him out on the wing. So a really nice pass from there. But as you said, John, the ball in from Leon McCann was just like that's perfect Brian Graham territory, and he does what you expect Brian Graham to do in that position.
Yeah, it's a great header. And actually, I was looking up because I thought, I wonder if Brian is one of the oldest people to score a goal in the Premiership. Do you think he is? I've got the answer.
One of the oldest.
For Falkirk or in general, you mean?
In general, the oldest scorer in the Scottish Premiership. He's fourth.
No.
He's fourth on the list.
What age was Russell when he retired?
Well, this is in the last 10 years, actually.
Ah, right, okay.
I should rephrase it. It's in the last 10 years. Russell must have been there or thereabouts, I think.
Because was Russell not like 40 or something in the Premier League? He would have been, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
40,
must have been
maybe.
that high when he left. Yeah.
Anyway, so if it's the last 10 years, I'm struggling though, because we've obviously not been in the Premiership for that
Yeah,
period, so
yeah, yeah.
I'm
So Brian
struggling.
was 37 years and 9 months, and then you've got Kenny Miller, Jermaine Defoe, and Clint Hill are all above him.
Clint Hill.
Clint Hill played for Rangers.
Oh, right, okay.
Played for Rangers, yeah. So
Was
there you
that
go.
during their banter years, or was that in the
Oh,
Premiership?
he played in the Premiership for them, eh?
Oh, right, okay. And their
So
banter years is back, though.
yeah, the banner is well too back at Rangers. Falkirk are still above Rangers in the table, by the way, which is great news. But yeah, I mean, we chased the game after that. Scott Bain had another really good save amongst that as well. But we pushed on Alfie, and just even the captain couldn't make it happen in the end. But like you say, it was a series of unfortunate events, Ross, and it was a 2-1 win. And like I say, it really is a barometer, this game, but we need to learn from it. And I'm sure John will have the players in and learning from it as we go, because we need to be beating teams like St Mirren at home if we want to have any chance of surviving. In saying that, they finished top six the last 2 seasons.
They did. They
They did.
did. But taking St Mirren out of it, you also want to win your home games, regardless of who you're playing and when. And we've not done that yet. I know we've only played twice at home, but we play Hibs coming up. We play Rangers coming up. Two tough games against two big clubs, and we really need to try and get 3 points on the board against at least one of them.
Yeah, no, exactly. So fingers crossed, we'll wait and see. Right, let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the match, shall we?
John, a defeat today, but I wouldn't say it was a bad performance. Would you say that maybe a draw might have been a fair result?
Mixed emotions, really. Yeah, because of that, you're always disappointed when you lose. Never happy when you lose. But I think there was a lot of positives to take from it. With regards to, I thought we more than matched St Mirren, who are a very good side, who've shown that by finishing sixth of the last couple of seasons, getting into Europe the season before. And I thought we matched them all over the pitch. I thought we started the game particularly well, opening 10, 15 minutes, taking the game to them. Starting on the front foot, exactly how we would propose to do. And yeah, settled into the game. Unfortunately, we went a little bit long, game became a little bit scrappier. And assuming came into the game, had a couple of headers from crosses. Nothing that was too taxing for Scott and goal. And it kind of like played out to half time with a really, really good move. Just before half time, or later in the half, in the first half, where we managed to connect everything together to get in behind them and a good ball towards the face of the goal. I think maybe Calvin, the guys, I think Calvin was offside, but it was a good move and shows that if you just can make these four or five simple basic kind of passes through the lines, that you'll get into these positions to get in good balls into the box. Again, I thought we started the second half well, very similar. On the front foot, we've got a ball across the face of the goal that, you know, we should be having more bodies in the box, we should be getting in the box. You probably get a tap in at the back post. And not a lot of chances either end. And then, you know, they get a break from the free kick with a deflection. You know, it shouldn't happen. It kind of does happen. We make a couple of changes, try to be positive, and just, like maybe moments after that, we lose a second goal, which your organisation is really poor. It's really, really horrendous kind of defending. So, a lack of kind of like organisation, leadership, we've made changes on the pitch, we've got to be organised. So the throw-in's taken far too easily, and they get the ball in far too easily, and of course then in the middle of the goal, or in the front area in the goal of the goal, you know, they get a free header, which is really poor. So disappointed with the goals we lose. We rally, we push forward, and we get a great ball in the box, and we get a good goal, and it's kind of like game on. Obviously, just not enough time to get a second goal. So disappointed, as you always are when you lose a game, but positive as well. I felt like we matched St Mirren, and of course there's going to be fine margins, and you've got to try and make sure that the fine margins land on your side more often than not. So positives to take from that. Some good performances. We competed well. I mean, got two really big strikers, and of course, coming into the Premiership from the Championship, I knew that the physicality was something, and we've tried to put some you know, height and physicality in our team, and I thought that we kind of dealt with most of that. The second goal was poor, but for the vast majority of that, I think we've dealt with that well, the physicality. So that's kind of pleasing. We're not going to, you know, crucify ourselves too much, because there's going to be, you know, highs and lows, and we've been used to winning in League One and obviously winning a big percentage of games in the Championship. This season we're going to have to realise that we're going to have to take our medicine at times and not get too down about it, because, all right, normally there's a game coming along, so it's 10 days away to go to be play Hibs, but we dust ourselves down and we start getting ready for that.
That was a long one on McGuinn Watch. I think that was about 4:30 today on McGuinn Watch. Wow, not a happy boy.
No, and it's probably stemmed from the second goal. That's probably still lingering in his head.
He's raging about that.
The trouble is, right, I know we spoke about earlier, you have three opportunities to try and deal with it, and we didn't. And that's probably his biggest frustration. I don't know if Craig was on at the time when you and I talked about this, but I think there will be defensive changes ahead of the Hibs and Hearts games.
Yeah. Do you think it will be Sam Hart that comes in, or do you think they'll have a punt on Philip Lisa?
You've got Lisa, you've got Hart, you've
it's
also
Cole
got
Dawson, yeah. I mean,
Cole.
Is it too early for Cole to come back on? He obviously played at Trinette today, but is it too early for Cole to come back in?
I don't know. I don't know. I think whoever starts against Hibs, I think, assuming they don't have an absolute disaster, I think will play against Hearts. We know Lewis Nielsen can't play against Hearts. So for that reason alone, I think we would have, in fact, I think we would have seen defensive changes even had we won yesterday. Because I just don't see John McGlynn putting in a centre-half with Hendo for the first time, unless it's Cole. Unless it's Cole, because I think Cole could slot right in against Hearts.
Aye,
and
yeah,
fine.
And
but
Cole will try like a bear against Hearts as well. We know that
he would. Yeah, and but I think that is the only scenario, personally, that sees Lewis Nielsen start against Hibs, as if Cole is fit for Hearts.
Interesting. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, I'd agree with Ross. Lewis Nielsen frustrates me, and I think I can kind of see what Hearts fans have said about him. Where There is obviously a very good defender there. It's just the kind of wee things, like for that second goal, getting kind of outpaced, outstrength for the throw-in, just kind of wee switching off. You can see the potential there, but is he giving away too many goals? That's the thing for me. That's the frustrating thing for me.
He's definitely got potential, and we do need to bear in mind, like Keelan, like the others, he's a young guy, right? So, as John said, there will be times where we're going to just need to take our medicine. He does more good than not. So, but do I think there will be change for the two Edinburgh games? I think there will be.
Just give me a bag of cans and Luke Graham back, please. Scored his first goal there for Dundee at the weekend as well.
I saw him last Tuesday. Our new office at Eurocentral is right next door to the Dakota Hotel, and that's where the Scotland under-21s were staying. And he was out for a walk around our sort of area and building. And
Luke, I love you. Come back.
Come back.
Right, let's see what you guys are saying about the game yesterday. Paul kicks it off saying, competed well against a good strong side, plenty of effort from the team. Arfield wasted out wide, really like Tate in the 10 role, however. Cartwright, McCann and Miller all really good, really need to get sharper in the box and finish those chances.
PGM says, not much in it, they took their chances and we didn't. The mistakes will happen. Everyone thinking we're going to play without errors needs to get real. We need to capitalise on our chances when they do come at this level. Really good performances from McCann, Hendo and Cartwright.
AKA says St Mirren are an established Premiership team and we held our own. However, when you defend like that, like we did for the second goal, then you always are going to get punished at this level. As others have said, our midfield probably needs a bit more variety. Unfortunately, I think one or two are struggling at this level.
Ian says, sure, we can compete with teams in this league. However, we need a bit more pace up top to cause teams problems. For me, just got to be a bit braver on the ball as well. Call cannot come back quick enough. Nielsen, unfortunately, isn't good enough. Constantly out of position and refuses to engage attackers, far too lax.
Yeah. Kirsty, thought we were unlucky and St Mirren were a bit more streetwise. Not much in the game at all. Looked better when we had two wingers on. Arfield, Tate, Cartwright, Spencer, all too similar, so all can't start.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think we do need.
I think it'll be interesting to see if Williams starts against Hibs.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't. I think Calvin Miller had a great game, by the way. I thought he did really, really well. But I can see Williams and or Kyrell starting against Hibs. Danny says, a lot to be positive about, in my opinion. Miller and Cartwright look good. The first half, we created a lot and should have been in front. I don't know if we created a lot, but we certainly could have been in front. The second half wasn't great. First goal was a freak. Second, it was a disgrace defensively. Adams had a poor game. Maybe time for a spell out of the team.
I don't think Adams was that bad at all. He's certainly, he had that chance where he kind of whipped it across the ball, and just if it had been a bit slower, I think McKeever would have been able there to tap it in. But I think Adams was that bad, but who knows. Gordon says, plenty of possession and got into the right areas, but overall didn't really do much in terms of testing the goalkeeper. A draw would have been a fair and honesty, but we didn't help ourselves with defending for the second. St Mirren more streetwise. The streetwise is a very popular word here than us, and it showed.
Indeed. Craig says it, haven't Craig? We needed more width. Four central midfielders doesn't give you that. St Mirren are a decent team, but we barely worked their keeper. Play the young wingers. The last two games when they've come in, they've gave us pace and energy and attack. Cartwright was my man of the match.
Well, we'll find out who gets Falkirk Daft rated in a minute. Clive goes, this formation only works with inverted wingers. Actually, that's something I did notice yesterday. They started off with Arfield on the right and Miller on the left. Arfield's not a winger and an unbalanced team, need pace up top and defensive shape out of possession. Would like to see a front three of the lone players, young, pacey and hungry.
And last but not least, Caskey Boy says, so far played three of last season's top six and we don't look out of place. They could have won versus United and probably deserved a draw today. Bit of fine tuning and I'm sure the wins will start to come.
There you go. Bit of positivity to end us with there. Right, okay, Falkirk Daft rated Ross Wayne.
Toss up between Cartwright and Scott Bain, to be honest, but I think I'm going to go for Scott Bain just by the fact that some big saves and we could have been out of it before we actually were. And I thought he was unlucky with the goal, the first goal.
Craig?
I'm going to put it you, John, because I had the exact same two. So I'll go Henry Cartwright and let you decide.
All right, okay. Well, I am going to go for his massive arseness, Henry Cartwright, Henry Hoover, hoovers up everything in that midfield and makes it happen. So big Henry Cartwright and his massive arse are getting Falkirk Daft rated. There we go. So there we go. Well done, Henry. Dafty. We've got to come back to it. I'm really sorry. Chris McGill, our kit man. Love the guy. Love you, Chris. Love you, Chris. But come on, mate. You got to spell Williams right, eh? Maybe he just ran out of ice in the printers and thought, ah, no one will notice.
Maybe. Although I did see the picture from Trinette today, it has been fixed. So it must have been just a wee schoolboy error. However, I'm going to back Chris, and I don't think he's the Falkirk Dafty of the week.
Oh, really? You got...
Now, John, you wouldn't have seen this because you would have been in the lounge at halftime. But the worst... and I mean the worst over anything else that has ever happened.
I know exactly what you're going to say here.
Crossbar challenge. Fair play to him. He had a big pair of balls enough for doing it, right? But that is fucking worse than anything that I did. Now, come on.
No, I'm not having this. You're just trying to deflect from your terrible crossbar challenge here and try to wipe the memory for everyone.
John, did my strike actually go in the goals? Yes, right. It did.
Okay. So the guy who did the crossbar challenge, Craig, who are you going for?
The guy who did the crossbar challenge was the guy I was going to go for, so I can't really back him.
I can't believe it.
The fury God is slipping.
Right, the crossbar. Please, sir, or come out and face up to it. We'd love to know who it was. Come out of your hiding and let us know. You can message us on Twitter or Messenger on Facebook. We need to, so we can add you to the Falkirk Dafty list.
Yeah, but listen, fair play to him.
You know how tough it is out there, Ross.
You know how tough it is. And he also had the disadvantage of being on that big, massive telly as well, because they were recording him live on this big telly.
You didn't have that pressure, though, Ross.
I didn't have that. And I scored. But no, I didn't. I kept my cool and scored.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Right, brilliant. Okay, so please face up. Let us know who you are, and we'll add you to the Falkirk Dafty list. Right, okay, before you go, Craig, we've got to do Falkirk Daft Versus. You've not played this, Craig, last time you were on. So you're going to go up against me this week. Right, so you're going to go up against me. Ross has got the questions, haven't you?
I do indeed, yes. So, Craig, what will happen is John will write his answer down. Please don't shout out your answer until John's written his one down, and then I'll come to you for yours, beg your pardon, before John shows us his answer. That makes sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Superb. So it's a penalty shootout style quiz, obviously Falkirk related, as always. There is an inclusion of a Who Am I, which I am really enjoying adding to the quiz these days. So, question number one, though. Who was the last player to join Falkirk from St Mirren? So who was the last player to join Falkirk from St Mirren?
I have no idea.
No, I'm struggling with this one as well.
Would you like a clue?
Yes.
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. The clue is, his nickname is also the nickname of a TV character.
That's a terrible clue.
It's not actually. It's a belter of a clue. Once you know, you'll go, how did I not get that? So this player's nickname is the same nickname as a TV character.
All right, okay, I've written some down.
Okay, Craig, we'll come to you.
I went the other way around. I'm going to go Mark Howard.
That was a while ago, yeah. You're saying Mark Howard, okay, John?
I've just written Fonzie because it's the only one. I don't even know who Fonzie is, but it's a TV nickname.
So I'll give you the nickname, and then you can tell me if you know the player. Lovejoy.
Oh, Ian McShane.
Ian McShane, yeah.
There you go, brilliant.
There we go. I would have thought you would have got that for that clue, actually.
No chance.
Right, okay.
Actually, wasn't his nickname? I believe the detective's surname was Lovejoy.
Don't be a geek, John.
I'm just saying it wasn't a nickname, so that's a terrible clue.
Okay.
Question two.
Still no. Falkirk have a better win percentage over St Mirren. Is that true or false? And this is against all games. So Falkirk have a better win percentage over St Mirren. Is that true or false?
I've got my answer, Craig.
I'll go true.
I've also written true.
It's 1-1. We do indeed, yeah. 53%, weirdly.
There you go.
I wouldn't have said that. That wouldn't have been my first guess. So it's 1-1. Okay. Question number three. Now, this is the who am I. Please don't shout out until finished. Sorry, answer when I've finished. So this person is a product of the Brentford Academy. He moved to Scotland and he played for Livingston, Falkirk, St Mirren, and finally Dunfermline Athletic. He then returned to England to play for various teams, Yeovil, Scunthorpe and Stockport County, and also AFC Wimbledon. Whilst born in England, he declared his international allegiance to Granada, where he has now made his full international debut.
Wow.
So a product of the Brentford Academy, played for Livy, Falkirk, St Mirren and Dunfermline, played in England for Yeovil, Scunthorpe United, Stockport and AFC Wimbledon.
I
and
have
is
an
now
answer.
Playing for Granada at international
I
level.
Have an answer. I have
okay.
an answer, but I don't know.
I also answered. I'm almost certain you're talking about Miles Hippolyte.
I've written down the hippo and all.
It's Hippolyte, Miles Hippolyte. Really well done, guys.
I don't remember him playing for St Mirren. That's why I was questioning it.
Yeah, no, he left. That's where he went to.
Did he? Right.
Yeah. I thought
he went Falkirk, Livingston, Dunfermline. Oh, there you go. Didn't know that. Good get. It was the Granada one that I got. Right, go.
That was 2-2. Right, question number four. How many goals did Richard Cadet score for Falkirk? And the closest person gets the point.
Oh.
So how many goals did Richard Cadet score for Falkirk? And that's career goals.
Right, I've written something down.
On my time, boys. So let's go 47.
I've written 34.
One of you is only one away. And that's Craig. It was 46 was the correct answer.
Wow.
Was that a guess, Craig? Just a random
guess. Oh, guess. I had absolutely no idea.
Oof.
I've got to get this right
and hope you get it wrong, Craig. So question number five then. Which player... Oh, that's a really easy question. You're both going to get this as well. Which player played for Falkirk in the last Premier League match versus Falkirk that is still involved at Falkirk? Hey, the last game against St Mirren.
Oh, I wonder who that is. We bloody you've blown this, Ross Wayne.
I fucked it. This shows you that.
I wonder what Craig's answer is.
I'm going to go with Scott Arfield.
That's what I'm going to go with. No, Scott Arfield.
Scott Arfield is so. Craig, you are the winner today. John, play the Champions League music for
no,
him.
No, I'm joking. Quay was shite for Lovejoy because that's his actual name, right? And also, you blown it.
Is your new name Ewan Cameron? Take the defeat like a man.
Well done, Craig. Well done. Well done, there you Craig. Go. Brilliant. Listen, Craig, thanks so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. Really, really appreciate it. You've got to leave us with a random player. I keep forgetting to do that. Leave us with a random Falkirk player so people can message in this random player and tell us, and prove to us they've listened to this, they've got to this point in the podcast.
Let's see, random Falkirk player. Matt Glennon.
Matt Glennon, what a shout. Good goalkeeper. There we go. So thanks for Craig. Matt Glennon, tweet us. Let us know that you've got to this point in the podcast. Matt Glennon. Thank you, Craig.
Always. Cheers, guys. Take care.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
Bye now.
And that is almost it for Falkirk Daft. Thanks very much for Craig. We'll be back on Thursday with our preview episode. But thanks also to our other sponsors, Falkirk Football Fans and Training, the T8s, doing it on a Wednesday night, 8:30 to 9:30, down at the stadium. They've got their over 50 section now as well. Don't forget about that. If you want to join up, make memories, help your mental health, make new pals, do it with the T8s at the stadium, 8:30 to 9:30 every week. All the details to contact either Ian, Willie or Dougie are below. Get in touch with the guys. They're brilliant boys. I've talked about them so much. And you'll get all the details in the links below. So thanks very much for them for supporting the podcast. And thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. Remember, we're here every Monday reviewing a game, here on a Thursday previewing the next game. And that will be Hibs this Thursday, Ross.
Well, yes, because we're playing Hibs on the Tuesday night, aren't we?
Aye, so well, you'll get it about 4 or 5 days in advance. It's another one of those weekends when we're not playing. It's a bloody nightmare.
Yeah. Wait, I actually thought the game was longer than that. So, but it's not. It's only 10 days away. So,
yeah,
no, it's the games are going to start coming thick and fast after that, though.
They certainly are. So, listen, thank you so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here on Thursday with the big preview show for Hibs. Get your merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. I think that at the moment there's 15% off in the merch store as well. So, if you get in there, you'll be able to get 15% off. Pintsandprince.co.uk. And congratulations to Gordon from Pints and Prince. Got married just there this week. So, well done, Gordon. Hall and Mrs. Hall, the brand new Mrs. Hall, and he still made the Falkirk game on Saturday as well, so well played, lad. So there you go, newly married Gordon, shout out to him. But you can get Falkirk Daft t-shirts at princeandprince.co.uk. Gordon will need all the money he can to pay for his honeymoon, and you can get us on the Discord channel as well, the links are below. It's always kicks off on the Discord channel. Get involved with it. It's like get an app on your phone, you can join in all the Falkirk chats there, or get in touch with us if you want to sponsor the show. Thanks very much for Furry Bairns a couple of weeks. They sponsor the show, the dog show, the fun dog show coming to the Falkirk Stadium very soon as well. But yeah, get in touch with us, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk, ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk. We are very cheap, as we always say. There we go. Right, on towards the Hibs. Let's hope another game at the stadium, thank God, and let's hope for another 3 points.
Big time expected.
What folk are done? What folk are done? Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. What folk are done? What folk are done? You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. What folk are done? What folk are done? For everyone who's kidding about being a folk are dead. What folk are done? We are folk are done.